When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Hello, and welcome to the Latin American History Podcast. Episode 107, The Black Legend. Besides the last few episodes, and the first few, while we look geographically at the pre-Hispanic Americas, this podcast has run chronologically, and this has meant that a lot of the subject matter has been the Spanish and earliest Portuguese conquests of Latin America. We have told the stories of a lot of excesses committed by those conquerors, which obviously don't paint the perpetrators in a very good light. Conquest is conquest. It's something which has happened time and again throughout history and has been done by peoples from all over the world. But every time you examine it, it's pretty ugly. The result has been that Spain in particular probably looks quite bad if you listen to this podcast from start to finish. Now, as I said, this focus is a byproduct of the previous chronological structure which the podcast has taken. If we had focused on other periods of Latin American history, we would have told the stories of atrocities committed by the Aztec, Inca, and Maya, or by Britain, France, and the Netherlands, as well as by independent Latin American states. These sort of things will come up on the podcast, and some of them sooner now that I'm doing things non-chronologically. So far, this podcast has not made the Spanish look very good. Now, these conquests are such a fundamental part of the birth of Latin America that you cannot and should not avoid them. But today I want to talk about something else, something related, but which provides a bit of an alternative perspective. Now, two things can be true at the same time. None of the facts and details I have told you in previous episodes are changed or altered by this one. It seems that in recent years, there is increasing pressure to pick a side and start shouting, and nuance often gets lost. I don't see it as my job to tell you what I think of history and contemporary politics. I like to do the research, present the story based on the facts I can find, and leave it up to you to draw whatever conclusions you wish. The truth is, though, there is no such thing as completely neutral history. All sorts of unconscious assumptions and priorities go into the selection of the facts, for example, that you use to tell your story. Even your choice of what to investigate is not neutral. Relatively recently, it was just common sense that most historians would focus on kings and empires. Today the trend has changed, and there is a lot more emphasis on social history, the lives of ordinary people. This reflects changes in our society more than it does changes in the society being studied. As I said, two things can be true at the same time. The concept of the Black Legend argues that the Spanish were unfairly painted as particularly evil in their empire. It can be true that other powers decided to do this deliberately, but that the Spanish did behave in what we would consider abhorrent ways. So today, to complement, rather than counteract, the stories we've told about the formation of the Spanish Empire and our understanding of that empire, we're going to look at some of the people who used it to attack Spain and their reasons for doing so. The origins of the Black Legend, and some of the material used by its proponents to support it, are inextricably linked to Bartolomé de las Casas. This first critic of Spanish actions in the Americas actually came from within their empire, instead of outside of it. De las Casas was a priest who witnessed the early days of empire, spending time in Hispaniola, Mexico, Cuba, and Venezuela, as well as parts of Central America. He dedicated his life to advocating for indigenous peoples and attempting to instigate reform. He was extremely prominent at the time, his arguments being listened to by the Spanish royals, the ultimate lawmaking power. His most famous of many books, A Brief Account of the Destruction of the Indies, was widely read at the time, and he was intensely unpopular among his fellow colonists. De las Casas, his life story, his arguments and his legacy are the subject of the Friends of the Podcast episode for September, which I've just released. So if you want to learn more about him, as well as last month's episode on the pre-Hispanic civilization of Tiwanaku, and get access to future monthly episodes while supporting the running of this podcast, you can become a friend of the podcast for $2 a month. There is a link with information about how to sign up in the description of this episode. De las Casas' scathing criticisms of the Spanish imperial project were aimed at reforming the system from within, but they would gain an audience outside of Spanish possessions. One of the earliest groups to criticize Spain were exiled Sephardic Jews. They had an obvious reason to resent Spain. In the same year that Columbus had reached the Americas, they were expelled from the newly conquered Iberian Peninsula, alongside the remaining North African Muslim population. During the research for this episode, I discovered something which I had been unaware of, that Sephardic anger against the Spanish did not just take the form of writing, but also of piracy, which I think is fascinating. Apparently some of those who joined the Iberian Muslim population, which was also expelled and settled in North Africa, decided to raid Spanish ships in the Mediterranean, while others made a home in lawless Jamaica and joined European pirates there. In terms of the Black Legend, however, it was their writing which had the biggest legacy. Some Spanish Jews chose to convert to Catholicism in order to remain in Iberia, but the coming decades were marked by the rise of the Inquisition. This targeted Muslim and Jewish converts, as well as Christians who were suspected of heresy, and even Protestants. The converted were under constant suspicion, and it wasn't unusual for them to be called in front of the inquisitors to defend the sincerity of their conversion. The Inquisition was an extremely intolerant and brutal thing when judged by our standards, and even by the standards of the time, it appears. It was easy for Jewish writers to use it to paint the Spanish as barbaric. Spain had another enemy at the time. We recently looked at the kingdom's engagements in Europe, and how the people of what would become the Netherlands and Belgium were involved in a prolonged and brutal conflict with them. These regions had been under the control of Spain, but were fighting the 80 Years' War for independence. Many Sephardic Jews made this area their home after leaving Iberia, and so the two groups found it mutually beneficial to emphasize Spanish excesses. The war for Dutch independence was exceedingly fierce, and a lot of terrible things did happen. The Spanish were determined not to lose control of the region, and they were willing to take extreme measures to make sure that they didn't. It's easy to see why the Dutch would have both the motivation to spread anti-Spanish messages, but also to believe a lot of what they were saying, considering what they were experiencing. Tied up in all of this were the Protestant versus Catholic wars, which Spain was also engaged in at the same time. Besides their fight for independence, the Low Countries were also Protestant, and this gave them another motive for condemning Spain. Other Protestants in Europe joined them in this. I am not an expert on these conflicts. I outlined them in the recent Iberian Update episode, but did not spend too much time researching all the details. I don't know if one side was worse than the other, but it was a very brutal conflict, with atrocities committed regularly, and Spain was the great power, not the Dutch. All of this gave anti-Catholic advocates more material to add to the Black Legend.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The United Provinces, the state which was formed in the Low Countries, quickly decided that if it was to survive and prosper, given its small size, it would have to look outwards. It developed a focus on trade and ambitions to create an empire of its own. This ensured that it remained a rival to Spain, even after the war for independence in Europe was over. And this brings us to the next proponents of the Black Legend, and their geopolitical motives. Up until now, Spain and Portugal had been the primary European imperial powers. Now their neighbours were starting to muscle in. As the Iberians had gobbled up much of the Americas and claimed the rest of it, along with the whole globe, through the Treaty of Tordesillas, this would mean encroaching on these claims and territories. Justification was required, and an argument that Spain was excessively brutal in its running of empire was a pretty convenient one. As such, the Black Legend was taken up in places like Britain and France. You can go through the mountains of history and try to come to a conclusion about which one of the European empires was most and least enlightened if you choose. For our purposes, I think it's enough to note that geopolitics is geopolitics, whether it's happening now or in the past. Often, it doesn't need to be consistent. It just needs to be effective. I don't think it's too controversial to say that these powers would also engage in the types of things which they condemned Spain for. The Black Legend is notable for being so long-lasting and for being adapted and updated by many different actors in many different contexts. So far, we have looked at the early years of Spain's empire and its conflicts with European powers at home. The legend would persist into the following centuries, however, well into the Age of Enlightenment. One of the most prominent Enlightenment philosophers was the German Immanuel Kant. Kant had a lot of views about race, which are, shall we say, controversial today. These extended well beyond any discussions of Spain and included negative arguments about many of the people who were affected by Spain's empire. He did not, however, see Spain's success at building that empire as evidence of European superiority. Instead, he believed that Spain and its people were not good examples of what he thought made Europeans the pinnacle of human civilization. He argued that what set Europe apart was its Enlightenment prioritizing of logic rationality, and scientific thought. Other peoples, he argued, were driven by passion and superstition. For him, the Spanish character was not sufficiently rational and European. He pointed to things like the Inquisition and the bullfight to suggest that Spain was too romantic in its ways of thinking and being. This was the age in which the concept of race was becoming prominent in public discussion. Some, such as the Argentine scholar Walter Mignolo, has argued that this influenced perceptions of the Spanish at the time. He has written that some viewed the Spanish as not European enough, in racial terms, compromised by their historic link to the North African Muslims who controlled the Iberian Peninsula for so long. Rivalry between what would become the USA and Spain's American Empire existed from the very beginning of the former's existence, and combined some of these previous features of the Black Legend, adapting them to give it a new life. The first Puritan settlers had left their homes because they didn't feel that Protestant English was Protestant enough for them. You can imagine then that they disapproved of Catholic Spain. Although their settlements were a long way from Spanish-controlled parts of the Americas, they were still rivals in the colonial sphere. So those geopolitical motivations I mentioned earlier applied here as well. They, of course, would have liked to have seen indigenous people converted to Protestantism rather than being Catholic. Once the USA became independent and rose rapidly in power, it, of course, became a rival to Spain, especially when the two began to share borders. Soon, most of those Spanish colonies were themselves fighting for independence. For the most part, the Spanish descended elite of those colonies were proud of their connection to their home country. They largely had no intention of rebelling for independence, and it was only after Napoleon invaded Spain and replaced its monarchy with one of his own that they decided to rise up. Soon, however, the fight was for independence, even when that original monarchy was restored. This meant that those criollo rebels now had to differentiate themselves from the Spanish who they were at war with, and present a model for newly independent countries, which they could argue would be superior to Spain's imperial control. They seized upon Enlightenment ideas of modern government, influenced by the French and American revolutions, and contrasted this to what they called the backwards Spanish leadership. Spain became the antithesis of the modernity which they wished to embrace. Intellectuals in the USA saw parallels with their own revolution, embraced the cause of the criollo rebels, and further judged Spain. The USA would actually go to war with Spain itself at the end of the 1800s. This war was contentious in the USA. It was related to the Cuban battle for independence, and although some wanted to help the Cubans, there was a strong non-interventionist strand to public opinion. Those who did want to intervene produced material to sway public opinion, which told horror stories of the Spanish treatment of the Cubans and involved things like concentration camps. When an American ship exploded and sank in the harbour of Havana, killing hundreds of Americans, the government decided that they had to declare war on Spain. Spain claimed that they had nothing to do with the explosion, but the Americans believed it was caused by a mine. Lots of anti-Spanish propaganda followed, as you can imagine. There are some who argue that the Black Legend persists to this day. It may not even be applied to Spain itself, but the culture which its former colonies inherited is sometimes seen in negative terms by others. Let's deal with anti-Spanish sentiment within Latin America to begin with. Now, Latin America is a hybrid place. Its cultures and the very DNA of its people are largely a mixture of Spanish, indigenous, and West African. There are debates across the world at the moment about empire and its present-day consequences. These debates are slightly clearer in places like India or Jamaica, where there is a fairly clear dividing line between the population and, in those cases, the British who did the colonizing. It can be a little more complex in Latin America, where mestizo people and culture make up the majorities in many places. While the English-speaking world has started talking about the extractive nature of colonialism recently, this has been talked about for decades in Latin America. Just read Eduardo Galeano's book, The Open Veins of Latin America, which was published all the way back in 1971. This book, and a strand of political thinking, argues that the extraction of wealth at the expense of Latin Americans, which began with the Spanish, continues today through economic means. It is a left-wing strand of politics, and while it often focuses on what it sees as contemporary manifestations, largely not committed by Spain, it does seek to keep the memory of Spanish actions alive. Just the other day, an argument broke out between the government of Mexico and that of the Spanish. Mexico just inaugurated a new president, and the Spanish king had not been invited because he had not agreed to apologize for Spain's conquest of the country. Mexico is probably the country which engages most with this type of history, and it's the place where it is most contested. It is a largely mestizo country, and I see arguments between Mexicans on the internet every now and again, where they discuss whether they should see themselves as proud Aztecs, angry about the Spanish conquest, or embrace their Spanish inheritance, seeing that as a sign of modernity, and denigrating their indigenous past. Of course, people argue about everything on the internet. I'm sure that most Mexicans don't sit around all day arguing about the fall of Tenochtitlan, but there is definitely a current to it within their political discourse. Of course, there are many indigenous people in Mexico and across Latin America, and perhaps they feel more strongly. In indigenous majority left-wing governed Bolivia, people are still obviously quite angry about the Spanish conquests, and see their pre-Hispanic identity as fundamental to their national identity. Finally, some also argue that there is some anti-Spanish discourse in anti-immigration debates in the USA today, as much of the immigration comes from the Spanish-speaking world. To them, it's that Spanish legacy, rather than the British colonial legacy of the United States, which makes those immigrants different and makes them concerned about their immigration. So there you have it, a history of the Black legend and the various people who have sought to perpetuate it. I don't know what specific conclusions you should draw. That's up for you to decide. The only one I personally take is pretty abstract. If you've enjoyed this episode and you want to do something to help out, one thing which really helps new people discover the podcast is if you could leave a review wherever you get your podcast from. If you want to sign up and become a friend of the podcast and receive one bonus episode per month, there's information about how to do this in the episode description. A huge thank you to everyone who's already done one of these things. And thank you to everyone for listening.
You've been listening to the Latin American History Podcast, written and produced by me, Max Argent, edited by Alex McNamara. If you want to become a friend of the podcast and gain access to a bonus episode each month, as well as helping to support the running of the show, there's a link with information about how to do this in the episode description. The podcast can also be found on Facebook and Twitter by searching for the Latin American History Podcast. Here, I post updates about new episodes, as well as interesting articles I find about Latin American history. Thank you for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.